that you are greater, you are better, there is enough to keep going with you. As we sang about a hope, I was thinking about how Wednesday night they looked to him and their faces were radiant. They will never be ashamed. Those who look to you will never be ashamed. So you help your people. As our eyes wander and we look other places, thank you for people, whether it was our parents or others that have said, no, 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 look back here. Stop that. Start heading toward heaven. And so as you help us today, help us to lift up your words. As creation obeys its creator, help us willingly to submit to your to the things of eternity. Sometimes it's new things that click, but for many times it's being reminded of the things we have heard. And so, Father, pray for anybody that's outside of Christ that sees us worshiping today, that you would get the honor because things of eternity are on display. We're learning what it means to love you, and thank you for that love you put in our hearts. I pray that that would live among us today, and that you would be honored with our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. We're cleaning up in the back of church. Does anybody follow this team? So if you follow this team, this could be yours. You put it around your head, and you can mow your lawn or whatever you want to do. But they're the wrong the wrong team right now, as the Phillies are doing well. But anyway, seriously, that hamper back there, yeah, you forgot your towels and your washcloths and stuff. You forgot them here, so just go look in there and you'll find what you were looking for. Seriously, that's the rest of Kathy's stuff. The rest we'll use for rags here at church and other things like that. She loved the baseball and hockey. It was for Kathy. Thank you for your encouragement for us with Carla passing. Yeah, after Wednesday night, we thought that was about it for her for church. So these last couple weeks have been downhill and an experience. Death was very close yesterday. We took each of our kids in to see her and talk with her about life and death. So it happens right in the middle. Just ask Jim and Linda. They were there, and Sandy and Brian were around us. Happens right in the middle of life. And the neighbors, they said, is everything okay? I said, yeah, pretty much. My mother-in-law just passed. They said, when? I said, right now. Right now. So it's also strange when her plot is in Carolina, and so we will talk through all the different options, and it gets to be kind of crazy dealing with a bunch of funeral homes. So we're going to have the service down there instead of here. What we, if you don't mind, we'll probably show a few pictures tonight and let people talk in testimony time here about her. Thank you for your care. I'll say that right up front here. She received more relationships and care here in the last 5 years than I think she had the rest of her life in her other churches and stuff. People loved her. There will be a lot of nice words. They're all meant, but you know here we are looking for deeper relationships than just knowing each other and being polite. Thank you for sharing that with her. She blossomed with that. And part of that is, I think I've told you, even in her delirium as she was disappearing, some of your names would come up, the ones who had been with her the most through the years, but they were just all mixed. Wonder what goes through somebody's mind there as they come to the end. But Jesus was in the midst of that. So as we talked about that, I said, you ready? You're going to see Jesus. And she just smiled. So much there. I'll share more. Definitely we'll share more as it comes, but we'll probably be heading down. We'll go for the last ride with her, and so we drive her down to Carolina in the van with us, and we'll probably head out on Thursday for that. Be back Saturday night, so that'll be coming. Thank you. Thank you for your care for her and my wife, She said, I don't think I can sing in choir today. We'll see. When you hear the words of the song, you see why, too. So she's a little emotional. As you've been there, some of you have lost both of your parents, but that's it's not just losing a parent. It's when you finally realize, oh, well, we're next. We're next. The generation above you goes, and so some of you maybe don't think that way, but there's something rooted when it's your parents with that. And some of us have wrestled in different ways when parents aren't a good thing in our life. What does it take for each of us to say, to find the gift of our Father who art in heaven? And that's at best, our parents aren't our identity. They're a picture of our Creator's love and care for us. So we've been talking about what it is to love God. At the very least, it's listening to His words, trusting, studying God's words, living in them, trusting even when we don't understand, recognizing that the words are true regardless of our immediate benefit. So the prophets, it was revealed to them as they studied God's words that it wasn't for them that these words were to be cared for, but it was for those that would come after in 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. The people in the Old Testament, we said, if you just look to Jesus when you think of loving God, you're missing thousands of years of people being in relationship with their Creator. The whole Old Testament, throw Jesus out, God, the Creator, has come down to meet with His people way before us understanding. And when I say Jesus, the incarnate Jesus, way before that we have seen the love of God, the care of God, the provision of God. Don't throw out the tabernacle. Don't throw out the sacrificial system. The provision of God for sin and for all that separates us from God. Sheldon talked about that on Friday night, about receiving justification from God. And imagine living as Adam after Eden for the rest of his life. No matter how good he was, it wasn't what he was before the fall. How do you live with that knowing it's never enough? God provided for that. There was much there before. So as you look in that Old Testament, then the eyes of hope were always toward a good and gracious God, also fearing disobeying that God. Those are the people that trembled at His word. The people in the Old Testament looked to Jesus because looking to God pointed them there. Why do we worship and follow Jesus? Because we love God and want His kingdom and will to be done. Jesus is the only one who can bring it to completion. So Simeon, it was revealed to him that he would not face death until he saw the Lord's Christ, the consolation, the comfort. Soul is at rest of Israel, the consolation of Israel. He looked forward, and there, now that I've held Him in my arms, my life can come to an end. We worship God's righteous judgments carried out through Christ. That's why if you are truly loving God and you are right with God, you get excited as the champion comes in Revelation 5 to 8, where no one else could do it. I wept because no one could open the scroll, the Lion of Judah. And you watched all the way through Revelation. There, you look to Jesus because God points us there. He gets the glory because Christ can. Christ has the glory and centrality of Christ. In Him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Colossians 2. Christ in us, the hope of glory, etc. The gospel is grounded by the person and work of Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. But the miracle of the gospel is God opening our eyes to the riches in Christ. It's not just saying the gospel. It's you saying, it was for me. It is for me. 2 Corinthians 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservant for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 and 5. The more we see and hear of all this, just like the disciples left John the Baptist to follow the Christ, we leave whatever else we were following, wherever else we are looking, and as our love grows, this is more than just right and wrong. That's why it's amazing, shop talk. We judge everybody else, but the more you love somebody, even when you judge them, you defend them. Now God, there's no wrong in Him at all. But those who love Him, then defend, they protect because of His value. When we see and hear all this, like the disciples left John the Baptist to follow Christ, we leave wherever else we're looking and follow Jesus. We are to be followers. We are to be followers. What does being a disciple or following imply or necessitate? Again, when I put up last week's things, you can waste the time reading them all. I'd rather just, as you listen right now, think about it. I don't care if it's up there already. Just say it. So it might not be helpful to look. What does being a disciple, following, what does that imply or necessitate? Sandy. Where? Tracy, go. Yeah, no, wherever. Where's the microphone? Give me it. Give me the mic. Oh, who has it? Oh, yeah, he. This one. Hi. Yeah, no, I believe it. It's fine. I just knew this is what I wanted, and there wasn't a person on it. Come on. What are you thinking?
The verse that came to my mind was, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others, that your attitude would be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Brad. Nothing out of selfish ambition. You remember where it's at in James, was talking about the wisdom from above, the wisdom from below. It says where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder and every evil thing. It's talking about the wisdom from above, the wisdom from below. So we're not just talking about the chaos, but think about even the restlessness of our soul. Jim Berg, who I highly respect, there's a course downstairs called Quieting a Noisy Soul. So this isn't just about conflict between you and me. This is about conflict inside here. As we're talking about what does it mean to be a disciple, you just go, okay. Right? So every time you ask them, where do you want to go, right? And then they mumble stuff, so I go, Long John Silver, and they go, no, all right? So finally Luke took a bunch of them, and he said, fine, we're going to Long John Silver. We're sick of making fun of that place, okay? And finally, some are getting on the bandwagon going, yeah, maybe not McDonald's, right? But then maybe not. There's a lot of other options. See, when you're a disciple, he said, yeah, you go to Long John Silver. I know where I'm going. Right? Do nothing out of selfishness or ambition. With humility of mind, consider. Well, where are those words coming from? Have the same mindset, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's not just a right and wrong. You're just like, no. He's watching, right? I told the youth group that It's easy to say something about your life and about your family's life until somebody else from your family is there next to you, right? Isn't that frustrating with your spouse or somebody else? You say, this is what we always do at our house, right? And your family members, you'll just say, well, not always, and we don't do it that way, right? But the more that the mindset which is in Christ Jesus, when you're following him, you go, yeah, I might, but he said, he's right there. He's there with us. Sandy, what are you thinking?
It goes along with that. To be a follower, being a disciple, first of all, you have to know who you're following. It has to be ingrained in you who the person is. And so you have to know Jesus. And more than that, it includes having a passion to live for him.
Yeah, right. Trying to get the kids to think in the abstract. And sorry, this is a humble thing, not an arrogant thing. I look at you as the big kids in here. That helps. Then I don't just think of, you know, that man is just doesn't like me or is disagree. That woman is just, I think there's a girl in there. There's a boy in there. And then I think, well, we're a little easier on each other when, oh, well, they're younger. You think there's a person. We get a little hard when we get older with this. Okay, but I'll ask, when you ask the kids, I said, well, all right, so tell me, what goes on in your family? How does this work with your siblings? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, how does this work with your mom or your dad? Okay, and they go, well, I don't know. I said, okay, well, if you were to do this, who would speak up, your mom or your dad? All of a sudden, they start having answers, right? They'll go, mom, all right? And I'll say, who will let you do this? And they're good on that. They go like, mom or dad, right? All of a sudden, they can start answering because they can't describe you guys. But if you tell them what's going on, they say, you know, somebody will say a word, and they go, well, my dad won't let me say that, all right? Oh, okay, you just told me something about your daddy, right? Okay, so she's saying in order to follow, you have to know. You got to go. You say, there's many things we don't know about God, but after somewhere, you say, well, I don't know, but I know that doesn't fit with him, all right? You follow without knowing him, and then there's some kind of passion that's involved, some kind of emotion involved. Since we've been talking about death here, it's right for us. I'm on a little bit of a horse here as I'm feeling in funerals. We're pushing away from this as a funeral. So this is a celebration of life. And I'm on a little bit of a horse right now. Maybe so be patient. Sometimes I have to rebalance. All right? I'm not into celebrations of life. I'm not into you looking at a casket going, oh my, she looks good. It's like she's dead. That's why we're here. Look at it. We did. We had 4 hours because we don't have local police. And since we didn't have hospice there, in time, you have to wait for the ambulance. So the whole cavalry comes in. We're a little cul-de-sac, so I passed it around the neighborhood. I said, in case you want to know, this is what goes on, is we get whisper around the cul-de-sac, okay? Okay? And, every time I cross normal, appropriate lines, I lose my whole train of thought. I thought, oops, I'm going to hear about this one later. Whoops, what was this saying? Come on, back me up. Celebration of life. As we think about death, that we face death, that's why I went off into the story. We ended up with 4 or 5 hours because we don't have local police. So when you don't have hospice there, just know this ahead of time for the next time your mother-in-law is at your home when she passes. If hospice isn't there, you have to get the whole cavalry in, okay? And they told us that. They told us you call 911. But when you call 911, you need a police report and all these other things. But that's what you're supposed to do. So, but if hospice is there, and we had hospice come a half hour or so after she died or whatever, but they weren't able to help because they had to know her living before that. So we had 4 hours with a body in the room. What do you do? You know, Andrew, you want to go back in there? He goes, well, it's a little freaky or something, whatever word he said. And after we've been in, cried and talked with each of them for a while, So we talked about why. We talked about why. Well, it's almost like she's frozen. I said, that's right. That's right. There was, and it's like her eyes were saying this. Her other was saying, okay, okay. And what does, what? So her life left. What is life? As we face death, reminded of our mortality with that, and when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And where, who was he saying that to? The sister of one who just died, right? Mary, Martha, Lazarus just died. Do you believe this? Yes, I know he'll live in the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. So there's a passion. If this is my key to life, that's what I was thinking. As her mouth is frozen open, where does she get her next breath? I am the resurrection and the life. Her next breath comes from Jesus. It comes from Jesus, right? Then I have a passion. The same, I can't breathe, comes from him. She lives, right? Being a disciple means there's something of value there. You defend it. You have a passion. Go ahead. What do you got? Go.
It has to be an awareness of a contrast of what you're not and something that you want and want to become. But then along with that, you also need the humility to allow yourself to be taught, to allow yourself to be challenged with from where you are to get to where you need to be. And that standard, of course, where we need to be isn't according to just our thoughts or desires, but we see the object of that contrast, and then we need to be teachable to that standard, the new standard that we see that's beyond what we currently are.
To be led toward, here, object following. And I say that carefully because I still think if I love Kevin DeYoung's title. See, you don't want to read? Just go over there and read titles. Titles will change your life, right? Right? So you go over there and say, do not be true to yourself. I agree with him. I really think we're thinking, well, if I follow Jesus, I'll be a better me. Yes, but no. The object is Jesus, right? So you're not just learning a better hobby with that. So seeing what you're not. Isn't it amazing when everybody sees what they're not? All right? All of a sudden, you're so focused on yourself with that. Then secretly, you want to go over here. It's amazing, as everybody needs a counselor today. All right? They were saying in our therapeutic culture that 30 years ago, people would feel a little ashamed to tell everybody, I'm getting professional counseling. Now it's a badge of honor. It's like almost like I'm doing the responsible thing. What's wrong with you if you're not getting professional counseling? What does that mean? There's a place for that, but again, the healthiest counsel will come from God's people looking at him, saying something about him. You're counseling with your comments, even when you say, I hope you have a better day. Maybe they don't need to have a better day. And I'm not trying to make weird you out so you can't say things like that. I am trying to say, be careful with what you're encouraging. If you just want people to feel better, okay, without, remember, I hated getting splinters out when I was a kid, right? All right? My dad seemed to look at it as a challenge. Come over here. Come over here, right? We're going to cauterize that needle, right? Get a match. And you're like, match, needle, black on the needle, right? All of that said run, right? Come here. Come here. Let me hold your finger. Hold my finger. And then the more you pull away, the tighter. If you just loosen up, it'll come out easier. What do you mean it'll come out easier, right? And there you watch. Your eyes get bigger and bigger as the needle comes close, right? And then it won't hurt. Oh, it is hurting, right? Well, then you want the pain to stop. Well, you pull away. Okay, the pain stopped, but the splinter's still there, right? So be careful about, I've said it for years, we don't want hospice care spiritually. just making you feel better as you continue on the wrong path. You don't want that care. You want it out. You want it out. Yes, I use hell more than I should for many different reasons. But in this case, get all the hell out of us. We want our souls to be at peace with God. So contrast of seeing what we're not, teachable, so you're led toward the object you're following. So why did I say private counseling? People want professional counseling because you can do that five towns over where nobody knows you, right? And you walk out and that's professional confidentiality, so and you could tell them whatever you want. That's why it's often hard in marriage counseling to get a couple together, because everybody feels like they're listening to her, they're listening to him, they're not, and you vie for sides, okay? As opposed to saying, all right, look, I want the mindset of Christ. I need it, she needs it, he needs it, we need the same, it's there. So seeing what we're not, and we run toward Christ. It's God's idea that his people speak the truth in love, so we grow up in all aspects to him who is the head. If every time we speak what we think is the truth, we all run away, you're pulling away from your splinter being pulled out. Now, you're right. I might not have the truth. But I told you, I'm getting better with backseat drivers as I get older, realizing I don't need an accident. I don't need a death today. I don't need to fix a fender or bumper. I don't care whose fault it was. I don't want to hit somebody. Right? So if two times out of five you save me from an accident, I can deal with that. Stop! You're going too fast! You know? Didn't you see the light was green? Yes. The other colors are red and yellow. I see. Right? Right? So, but you make snarky comments, and then they get quiet. Then you go right through the light. You go, well, I didn't see it. Well, I did. Well, then let them tell you. Well, why with other Christians? I think you're a little proud. You said, yes, I am, but I don't think I was where you thought I was. Could you tell me again where you saw that pride? You figure it out. It's hard for me. It's hard for you. It feels like a splinter, but teachable to be led toward the object. God uses his fallen people as part of that process. Go ahead. What do you got? Anything else? Taryn. Oh, here we go. Thank you so much, Murph. Go ahead, Karen.
So I believe it implies that there's a willingness to do the hard things, the uncomfortable things, the stretching things, and often that looks like things that we never thought of, specifically with Christ. But that also indicates that there's something outside of ourselves that we want.
Yes, things we haven't thought of. Right? That indicates something outside ourself. We value. Just finished World Magazine from April 22nd. And it was talking about J. Edwin Orr talking about revivals in 1905. I was talking about the change in society that took place. It said by the 50s, Francis Schaeffer, that's who it was, Francis Schaeffer said that by the 50s, all we had left was the muscle memory of those changes, of those virtues. The culture, when we look back to, you know, Leave It to Beaver or whoever, whatever show you want to look to and say, oh, that was a little more wholesome, right? Wholesome? See, now we've been thinking, do we want wholesome or do we want the God who is wholesome? See, that, remember, Mormonism and other things become attractive when you're only looking for wholesome, right? This whole Mennonite area, people came in here because it's wholesome. Then they come in and make fun of the Mennonites. That's not nice. They might be right about some of the things they're saying, but it's because they were looking for the fruit, not the root. Care about the roots with that, all right? It's following even through the hard things. We talked about John 6. Will you also leave me? When you come to marriage, you know, they say, well, you're not the man I married or the woman I married. Okay, what will keep you there? Valuing something outside of ourselves. So it's not Jesus will give me what, you know, he'll free me from cancer, help me get along with my wife. Who cares if your marriage ever gets right? You go, well, that's not what God wants. No, but if marriage is his, then you fulfill what he desires for you inside of marriage. Do that, with or without your spouse. You say, well, that's hard. There's what she just said. Those are the things you didn't think of. I'll look to him for a good marriage, but what happens if it doesn't go like I thought? Well, then if marriage is his, then you continue. You continue. If it isn't, you throw in the towel, right? A willingness to do the hard things, often things we haven't thought of. Anything else? Then I'll go. Yeah, Jim, right here.
When one becomes a disciple, when he first gets saved, there, I know now, I didn't see it then, but it's a lifetime of growing. But the two words that come to mind as our discussion goes this morning is preventive maintenance, being a motorhead.
Say preventive maintenance what? The last thing you just said.
All
right, motorhead, come on. Preventative maintenance as a motorhead. We're thinking about that. They were saying muscle memory. If you're not careful, you're just doing the right things without any roots underneath of it. He's talking as a motorhead. How does it end up? You've talked to him, talked to Yuri, talked to Darren, any of the rest of you want to be a motorhead. Okay. And they're going to say, check the oil, dummy. Right? They don't always say dummy. They look at you like, duh. Right? Right? And you think, yeah, but I turned the key. And they go, check the oil. What's behind the key? Right? It's like, well, if you check the oil, maybe your key will work. Right? The same with my kids, right? Check the air. I come home and they have two bald tires. I said, check the air. So I put two new tires on. We come home again. There's another bald tire. All right? Finally, the kids go, no, we forgot to check the air. I said, well, good. At least you know where the problem was. Can you check the air the next time? See, that. So prevent it, looking to him. It's what Pastor's going to preach here again today. You can't have Christ inside without change. That change, it motivates. You don't clean up your mouth or clean up your life. Or what? That's not the focus. You go, yes, that's what happens. He cleans. Stop. Study when I'm reading it across, I'm hearing it again and again, we've subscribed to moralism. You need to think what moralism will look like. It's Little House on the Prairie. You go, well, you'll be holy, you'll be moral. Yes, we want Christ, a living Christ. You know the one you're praying to, like breathing every day? If you're not breathing that, if you're not growing in him, back to what Sandy said, You've got to grow in grace and the knowledge of him. Well, if you study him, you'd find he wouldn't want you to say that. You'd find he wouldn't want you to watch that. Okay, and do that and that. Why don't we just ask him? He's here. He's given us enough. Well, here, I found a verse. Yes, you're right. But these verses, they live. There's more here. This is why I'd love you to read David Pollison's book on sanctification. It's not just you being holy. It's how your holiness is lived out, how you help me to be holy, how I help you to be holy under God with that. So preventative maintenance is tied to God. And that's what we say about a mechanic. See, your mechanic knows. You're happy with that when they know. It's not just your car. There's some, how do we work? You go to the Creator. Okay, anything else? Say it.
Renewing of mind.
Yeah, renew it. Romans 12, okay? All right, so because we're heading here, she's right, Romans 12, you can put that, Nicole, because I want to head toward following Jesus, but I just want you to think about what being a disciple implies. So it means being with him, or her, fine if you're following, whoever, all right? As we're moving toward Jesus here, being with him, watching him. right? Jim was over helping me with a tree. His saw cuts like butter, right? My kid was around. My mother-in-law's time was to come. I was hoping it wasn't my time yesterday. Chainsaw. I told my son, he was around. I said, here, look at it this way. If there was a poisonous snake in a room, what would you do? Would you know where that snake is? I said, well, I would. If there's a poisonous snake in a room with me, I'd know where it was. I said, look at that blade. That's a poisonous snake. You want to know where that blade is at all times. I said, or else your finger will be sitting on the floor. It'll cut right through your leg like butter, right? So I wanted Jim's brain, but I didn't want him climbing up a ladder with that. Well, you know what that meant? I had to climb up a ladder, right, with that poisonous snake in my hand, right? So I'm very concerned because Susie's sister's boyfriend died doing a tree. You got all your stories, too? It's the kickback, right? It's not the initial cut. It's where the last cut, right before it falls down, it kicks back, right? I wanted everything that he could tell me at that second. Everything. All right? And I still ended up, when it rolled, it didn't kick back, it rolled. So I got bruises with that. Ladder gets pushed a little, and there goes the branch, right? As you're thinking about looking and following him, the more you recognize, you don't come to him just in crisis. Sin, which so easily entangles, ensnares. You be with him. You watch him. You see him doing and imitate. You let him critique. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all you labor, heavy laden, King James, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am gentle. You will find rest for your souls. See, I don't mean to cast Dad in a bad light with splinters. I'm glad they took them out. My mom had her way of doing it too, right? He wasn't trying to be harsh, but that you got to think about that with Jesus. When it said, Taryn said, things you weren't thinking about, it may seem harsh. It doesn't mean it was. I am gentle, lowly. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. John 12, 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. That's John 12, 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Right? I was working on that with my kid yesterday. It was amazing to work with me for a little while. And then all of a sudden, he gave a break and they went in for the bathroom and then never returned. You're doing so good. I just complimented you on how well we were working together. What happened? Well, they got busy. They forgot. Well, you can just remember and come right back out here and work. Look, it says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What does this mean? Following, even when we don't understand how Christ fulfills all his promises in our lives. Following, even when we don't understand how Christ fulfills all his promises in our lives. So, like we said, John 6, when they said, these are hard statements, who can listen to them? All right, many left, the disciples stayed with him. That means persecution. When he says there will be persecution, when he says you need to love me more than the closest ones on earth, you need to give them up. It's not just theoretical. Some of you have to wrestle with that. It doesn't mean they'll all leave you. It means there'll be tensions that are created as they go, this is not following the kingdom. And you go, no, this is following the kingdom. You have to hear his voice louder than the rest of your fears, even when it comes to those closest. But also, you need to hear him say, you are loved. You are forgiven. If you still believe his words, all of them, when it's hard, what will it keep you from? If you still believe his words, even when it's hard, What will that keep you from? Sinning. Why is sin a big deal again? Let's get this straight if we want to stay away from moralism. Why is sin a big deal? That's it. Say that every time. It. Yes, she's right. Yep, it separates us from God. Please, please stop saying sin is bad. It is. Finish the sentence. Sin is bad because it separates me from God. That's, you're not going to heaven. You're going to be with God. Heaven is where God is. You got to do that. Because we got to get rid of this thing of I can't be in this church because everybody's better than me. If that was really true, you should be all excited. Right? Why is everybody not excited if they feel like people are better than them? It's not always true. And that's what happens. They find out you're just like them. They go, you're just like me. And then we just do the normal stuff that we all do. Right? No. We want to be with the one who is holy. Go ahead. If we believe his words when it's hard, persecution, tough, the things we didn't think of, it'll keep us from what? From sinning. But what else? Okay. All right. Why? It'll keep us closer to him. If you believe his words. I just gave you the words that persecution, you have to give up those closest to you. But I also said, he says, you are loved, you are forgiven, you can be justified. If you believe his words, when the hard comes up, it'll keep you from doubt. Doubt, right? Right. All right, so let's finish the sentence. It'll keep you from doubting what he said. You might not understand what it means. It'll keep you from doubting what he said. You'll say, but he said, right? Right. So because see, you're right. Part of change includes you uprooting the things that you already think you know. So it's not wrong for you to question things about God. It's wrong when you end up following those questions away and you go, you know what? I know you say you love me, but I've had about as much love from you as I can handle, right? You know, however you want to fill that in cynically, right? People are doing that all over with God right now. I know, you know, but you know what? Actually, I'll trade you in God for the Hallmark Channel. You know, and you go, good night. But then we go, why is everybody watching that? You go, well, it's not wrong to watch it. I'll watch one or two. But after a while, you go, I can't help myself. It's like I don't live in that world. So I go, I'm asking all these other questions about, even if this were true, what else? Some of you listen to the Unshackled program. See, this is where the cynicism comes out. All right. In Unshackled, they're trying to tell you how somebody had a messed up situation and came to Christ. But that's in a half an hour. You're missing all the pieces of all the years. And you're just like, oh, fine. You're going to tell me one more time in this show about how somebody was messed up and they came to God. You know, it doesn't work like that. What do you want? You want to have another radio program called Shackled? We could have thousands of people on that one, right? Shackled. They thought their life was all good and then this happened and now they are shackled. Right? We could have that. But we're talking about those who are unshackled. That can be true too. So what does it keep us from if you trust his words? All of them. It keeps us from sin that separates us from him. It keeps us from doubting his words because they came from him. Can you think of anything else? What? It keeps you from God. Remember I told you? You know, you guys, some of you think, well, John wouldn't listen to me and I'll get a 3-hour lecture if I bother saying it, so I'm not going to say anything to him. I wish we'd get over that. I hope you realize I'm a sheep, not just a mouth, okay? If I'm a sheep that needs to be more like God, then say something to me, okay? Okay, we think about consequences of our sin. I think about the weight of representing God before you guys. Remember, it says that leaders will be held to a stricter judgment or whatever. Somebody has to lead. Somebody has to do the father stuff. Somebody has to do the husband stuff. Somebody has to do the church stuff, okay? And there's consequences. Remember, I've been telling you, even if you're right with some of the things you're right about in my life, okay? I don't change overnight, just like you don't, right? So it's easy to feel like when you're in the midst of something that even I think is wrong in my life, I think, when this is all over, I'll clean it up and ask for forgiveness, and then somehow we'll try to make this not happen again. I've been wanting to pray to God in the middle of those times and say, God, help me. I'm in this pattern. This happened. I don't know how else to handle it, but I don't need to tell you, you know this. Help me. And what does that do? I want to not go further in my mess, right? Right in the middle of that. Doesn't mean you'll stop yelling or whatever, all right? I'm a loud one, whatever you are. Maybe you give the silent treatment or whatever you do. It doesn't mean it'll stop right away. You want God with you right there in the middle of that. I do. And if I believe his words that I'm justified not by my good works, but by his blood, then he's there watching as I'm not what he wants me to be. And I know that. I want him with me, because it'll keep me from further consequences. I could have stopped one sentence before, right? I could have stopped one motion before. I want him there with me. It'll keep you from consequences. Do you have anything else? If I believe his words, all of them, when it's hard, it'll keep me from... What do we got? Nicole, you didn't put... Do you have a slide on this? No, it's fine. You didn't need to. It'll keep us from sinning, which will separate us from God. It'll keep us from doubting his words. It'll keep us from the consequences of continuing away from him. It's hard on you. You know, that whole thing. There's so much mess. Please be patient. Every time somebody goes, oh, they're struggling with porn. Do you know what you do when you do that? When somebody's struggling sexually... Why would they ever want to tell you or anybody else that they're struggling? Because they watch how you respond. You go, that's it. Can't trust him, can't trust her, can't trust anybody. They don't want that. They're already drowning. You just made them continue drowning. And as we struggle with the internet, phones, other things, stuff's going to be there. We're a sloppy, undisciplined culture. We're going to mess up with sexual stuff. You go, yep, there's big consequences for that. Yes, there are. But we're not trying to just change actions. We're trying to change hearts. How do you change a heart? So as you think about the process of change, what will it do if you keep God's words intact when it gets hard? Anything else? It'll keep you from...
Forgive me for butchering this passage, but... I think it was Peter that talked about if we remember these things and are growing in them, we won't be useless. We will be useful for the kingdom, which also connects to the identity problem that a lot of people face with lack of direction, not feeling that there's a purpose in life. And the more we're anchored to Christ, the more that those issues stay addressed in a regular, ongoing way without becoming an issue.
Will not be useless. We spent a long time on that on Wednesday nights. Useless, unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody else? You follow the question, or did I put you all to sleep? When you're following, all right, if you remember everything you said about following, which will, if you keep his words intact, what will that keep you from? Sin. What? Yep. 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 Doubting. Yep. I'm collecting. I've got four in my head. I want. You know what? I'm not just... I need to live by this during the week. All right? I don't know what you guys need. I need this. All right? So that's what I'm saying is, come on, when you guys at, you know what I'm trying to do? Trying to raise a healthy church body, right? So you don't just go, you don't just give me thumbs up or thumbs down. You're like, interesting, boring, helpful, not. Come on. That's the danger of every time you walk off of a website, they say, would you mind giving a thing about your overall experience here, right?
And anything less than 10 stars or 5 stars, they're going to ask, why? So it's like, fine, 10, 10, 10, 10. They go, good, we did a great job. It's like, no, I didn't want to answer more questions. Okay? So here we are. I'm telling you, if we're following him, okay? Because you know where this is going. You forgot, but I didn't. All right? This is way back to Mark Dever saying, we want churches that are known by loving God, loving their neighbor. The germ that you'll see in those churches, the germ, the thing, like kind of when you get the flu, there's a germ, it produces, the germ you'll see is people following Christ. Okay, so what does that look like? Because he's going to turn around, and where we're going next week is saying, those that follow Christ will help others follow Christ. That's called discipling. What have you heard me say? And it's backed up. Believe me, I'm tired of being trying to be an authority with a million other voices, all right? So I'll back it up everywhere. Churches have lost the art of discipleship. There's no discipling. I'd say no formal discipling. I think informally we're teaching one another the wrong things about Jesus, including saying this is okay when it's not, including giving people no way to live, as I just gave you a pornography example. Most of us are not trustworthy when somebody's struggling with sexual stuff. You say, it's bad. Yeah, we all got that, including the person struggling. But how to walk through that? This is what you need. Is there anything else? Yes. Where? Go.
Right here.
Yes, right here. Go.
As in Hebrews, Jesus is better every which way. Following Jesus, you will see that Jesus is better in everything. And you'll see, I don't have to be looking for something else. He gets sweeter and sweeter, and you start to understand.
Okay.
In the midst of the ugliness.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nicole. Consequences. It keeps, that is the next one. Consequences. And then he says, the book of Hebrews, in obedience, you will see that he is better. I think some of us will say that. They'll say, I used to think that. Well, I'm going to ask you, all right, how long are you willing to go through the dark tunnel in order to see that he's better? Think about the California gold rush, all right? Isn't it amazing? A few people find gold and a whole bunch of people get in a wagon and go across the country to find that gold. No wonder they staked their claim. It's like, I left everything to come all the way to the other side. No wonder there was murders and other things going on. It's not just greed. They're saying it was valuable. What do we lack? If we lack character, like Stan was saying, we lack the patience. This is an eternal God saying there is life in my words. An eternal God. What is your 80 years to eternal God? When you go, well, oh, I trusted your words for 10 years, for 20 years, and I'm not seeing it. Just see how that sounds to one who said, a day is like 1,000 years. You go, well, if you can't see it in your 50 years, it just ain't worth anything. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving, the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Anything else? Go, Taryn. Say it.
It would keep our eyes off of ourselves and keep us remembering who God truly is.
Keep our eyes off ourselves. I told some of you, I'm known for saying awkward things, okay? When I had the kidney stone, right, I told some of you this. They take you to the CAT scan. Wait, you're in one of those hospital gowns that doesn't have a back. And I got a 20-something girl intern that's taking you down. So what do? Talk to her or don't you? What do you talk to her about? Well, I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian caring for her soul. You talk to intern while you're in a ton of pain with not much back there. I needed my eyes off myself. What was the second part? Do you remember? She talked, help us. What'd she... Not losing sight of who God is. There you go. I gave you an awkward illustration. I needed my eyes off myself and not forgetting who God is. You got that? Anything else? Yeah, Olga, give me a mic. Move.
Like Pastor John said, basically idols that we wouldn't worship anybody else, and also going our own way. That, like you said, nobody can tell us what we are, and we're just going our own way.
I give you a lot of family examples today. So as I try to get my kids to do something, they say, I was going to do it. Did you ever see the Family Circus comics, right? Did you see that? With the little dotted line of where the kid went on his way, on their way to going to do it. She said, if we believe God's word in the midst of hard things, what will it keep us from? Playing Family Circus. I was going, I just had to get my coffee. I just had to calm down a little bit before I wrecked the situation. I just had to, no, just come. Just come, right? So we sing that, just as I am. I come. That's what, that'll keep us from going, oh, there was too much drama going on. I couldn't be in church today. Yeah, come with your drama. No, you go, I can't handle all the drama of them asking if I'm okay. Say, no, I'm not, but today's not the day to ask me. Ask me in a couple weeks and I may tell you, okay? Or may not. But just saying, I take my place among the worshipers, right? It'll keep you from idols. I mean, the idols meaning whatever you think you have to have in order to follow. Lord Jesus, would you help us as we continue with this, because everything we're saying here should affect how we handle the circumstances you have seen ahead of time that we're going to go through. They're not a surprise to you, and you would call us to have you as Lord of our life, as Savior, as Deliverer, as our eternal Father, as our Captain, through the middle of all of this, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If we could learn better what it is to be a disciple, perhaps it would change how we call others to follow you as well. And we would be disciple makers. We would be evangelistic. We would be telling others a gospel that is rooted not in moralism, but in the God who is holy. Thank you for all you've given to us. Yes, ultimately in Christ. But God, since you've created, you have been mercifully caring for your creation and providing for us. Lord, would you help a love to grow? Not just a feeling love, not just all these other things that are part, perhaps, but we want something, a love that is true, that is firm. Thank you for that, a holy love. In Jesus' name, amen.